Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Better, okay. You don't have to turn with me in your Bibles because I'm to save time, I put it on the screen. Since we've got less time, Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I want to start there. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigns through one, much more those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation." So judgment came, and what was the result? Condemnation. Judgment came because of Adam's sin, and then what was the result? Condemnation. Okay, so because of one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteousness, who's that speaking of? Speaking of Jesus. Okay, so let me just look here. One man's righteous act, the free gift, came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Okay, so because of one man's disobedience, death reigned, that scripture is saying, number one. Number two, judgment came to all men, and what was the result of judgment? Condemnation. And then many were made sinners. Okay, you're born a sinner because of Adam's sin. Then because of Jesus, the scripture is saying, we get abundance of grace, unmerited favor. We get the gift of righteousness. We get justification of life, which is basically that we're made right, that through Jesus and what he's done for us, he's proven us to be right with God. And then he has made us righteous. Okay, so that's just very quickly showing you what came in Adam and then what came in Jesus. Okay, but what I want to build on from what Peter was saying is just that, you know, through Jesus, everything that was lost in the garden has been restored and much more. So if you take time just to think about what was lost in the garden, then you got a good idea of some of what Jesus actually restored to us. Okay, Jesus came and restored what was lost in the garden. Okay, so now we're going to look at John chapter 3, and I want to look at how Jesus is the answer. Because whatever was lost, what came in as a result of sin? Death. What came in as a result of Adam's disobedience? Sickness. Lack. A whole bunch of things. Okay? And Jesus came to deal with that problem. So now we're going to look at it, what Jesus said about it in John chapter 3, 14 to 17. It says, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, we're going to look at that scripture in a moment in the Old Testament where Moses lifted up the serpents in the wilderness. Because I think a lot of people, we would read that in John and not even think about what is that. If you're like me, I don't ask why, I'm not an engineer. I kind of just go, oh, I don't understand, let me move on. When in doubt, carry on. Or leave it out. You know, not let's dig deeper. I have had to train myself to dig deeper. And so we're going to look at what the significance of Moses is and the serpents in the wilderness. But Jesus says that, you know, as Moses did that in the wilderness, as he lifted up the serpents in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I want to point out one thing. That word saved at the end in the Greek is coming from soteria or sozo, which means healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. So if you go look it up in the original language and you look up what the meaning of saved is or sozo, it's not just talking about saved from your sins and now you have a nice eternity, but which it's included, but it's talking about the here and now, and that God, Jesus died so that we could live in wholeness, in freedom, have provision from God and all of that as well. Okay, so there's a lot more to it than just having your sins forgiven. But if it was just your sins forgiven, that would be awesome. But there's much more to it. Okay, so Jesus is saying here, as Moses lifted up the serpents in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Okay? And as a result of the Son of Man being lifted up, he's talking of himself, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You could say it like this. As the Son of Man is lifted up, whoever looks to him and believes will have eternal life. Okay? So keep that in mind now. Whoever looks to the Son of Man on the cross and what he's done for you and you believe in it will have eternal life, will be saved. So Numbers chapter 21, verse 5 to 9. It says, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So they're getting provision, but now they're moaning about it. Okay, what does God do? Because they're now under the covenant of law, they're moaning previously under the covenant of Abraham, got them blessing. God still blessed them and looked after them when they moaned. Now they're under the covenant of Moses, they start moaning, and what happens? It's interesting. The next verse. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Okay, so they got punished. God's wrath was then poured out on them because there was law. Okay. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, so now they're repenting, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent. Everyone say serpent. Set it on a pole, say pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, say bronze. Made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Okay, now look at that last part there. It says, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks on it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at it, at the bronze serpent, he lived. So what was the problem? The problem was the serpents, right? The snakes were biting people. It's kind of a problem. Okay? Most times. Unless you like that kind of thing. But the serpents are biting the people. So, and then the solution was Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. In the Bible, bronze represents judgment. Okay, so he made a bronze serpent, speaking of judgment. Okay, the serpent was the problem. Okay, so he made a bronze serpent, signifying judgment, and put it on a pole. The pole is significant of the cross. So now, start to picture, now, Peter said, nothing in the Bible is just there by chance. It's all got a meaning, it's all significant, and if we look at it, it can really impact you, and it should always point towards Christ. So now we're in the book of Numbers, which many of you probably never read enthusiastically. And all of a sudden, you're seeing Jesus. Okay, if this is news for you, get the CD, Christ's Love Revealed for Us through the book of Ruth. There's many teachings there which are all for free. You can go and look at it and get that teaching specifically. The Old Testament reveals Christ. And so in this now, we're seeing that the serpent, the bronze serpent, represents judgment, and he puts it on a pole, which represents the cross. And then what do we see? Anyone who looks at this, who has been affected by that problem, the problem of the serpent, if you've been affected by that problem and been bitten, then what happens? You'll be healed. Because you've seen your problem judged on the cross. Not because you've seen a snake on the cross, but you've seen your problem on the cross. Okay? Your problem has been judged on the cross. Go to the next slide there. Next one. There. And so it was, if a serpent, the problem, now the brackets are mine. Okay? If a serpent, the problem, had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze judged serpent, the problem, on the cross, he lived. The same applies to you and me. Okay, when we look at the bronze serpent on the cross, and the fact that our problem has been judged and dealt with, we will live. Okay, everyone who looked upon the problem being judged on the cross was healed or saved. Okay, yeah, we deal with this topic every week, just in different forms. Some people get tired of it. I never get tired of it. We've been doing this for now 7 years or so, just focusing on the finished work. It never gets old. If it gets old for you, then something's wrong with you. Okay? There's nothing to move on to. You just look at it from different angles, and it's like, wow, Jesus is awesome. Wow, God is so good. And it helps us to be able to walk more in the freedom of what He's called us to. Look at John chapter 3, verse 14 there. Jesus is saying, and we've already read this, but as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, speaking of Himself, Jesus, be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we need to look unto Jesus, and in Jesus our problem having been judged on the cross, in order to receive the solution. Okay, next slide. Hebrews 12 verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, how do we live this faith life, this grace life? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith, the start and the finisher of our faith. We look unto Jesus and on the cross, what He's done for us, the empty tomb included, not just talking about the crucifixion, but we look to what Jesus has done for us, and faith rises up, and that's how you got saved. Okay, how do you live the Christian life? Many people think that now you've got a clean slate, go and try harder. That's not the grace life. The grace life, the Christian life, which God intended for you and me, is you've received Jesus by looking to what He's done, and you live in Christ by looking to what He's done for you. So faith is born by focusing on Christ, and faith is strengthened and comes up by focusing on Jesus and the finished work on what He's done for you and for me. All we have to do is look unto Jesus, and faith rises up, and we're saved. Saved as sozo. Healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. Whatever your problem is, you look unto Jesus, and you've got the solution. Jesus is the answer. Doesn't matter what the question is. Okay? Now some of you are thinking how you can catch me out, and you can, but you know what I mean. Okay? The one laughing is the one asking the question. All we have to do is look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we are cured from the bite of sin, the serpent. If you look back, we're not going to look at it. I had it on a slide, but the first prophecy of Jesus is Genesis 3:15. Don't turn there. I'm going to just read it to you. It says, "And I will put enmity, open hostility between you and the woman," speaking to the serpent now, God speaking to the serpent, "and between your seed, offspring, and her seed, he shall fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise his heel." So if you think about that, Jesus' heel, this area, was nailed to the cross. The enemy was able to just strike at his heel. But actually, when that was nailed to the cross, Satan's head was crushed. Okay, so that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, is a prophecy of what Jesus would actually do. It says, it speaks of Jesus, God is saying, speaking of the woman's seed as well. In the Bible, usually you're speaking of the man's seed, not the woman's seed. Why is that? It's a prophecy of the virgin birth, right in the beginning of the Bible. It's powerful. Nothing's there by chance. Okay, so in order to experience the abundant life and to live in it, we've got to be focused on Christ. Your whole life should be focused on Christ, and you should live focused on the finished work and what Jesus has done for you, not just at Easter. If you come here, if you've been here around for a while, you know, we maybe have sung one or two songs or revived one or two songs today, but we sing pretty much the same message every week. We're not, next week when you come, we're not going to all of a sudden teach you how to clean up your act. We're not going to all of a sudden teach you how to obey the law. We're not going to teach you that stuff. We're going to continue to ground us in grace and in righteousness so that we can live a life of victory. Okay? So, anyway, you've got to live the Jesus-focused life, which is seeing your sin judged on the cross. Jesus has taken your punishment, and so you'll never be punished for sin. So there's two things I want to focus on. The first thing is how Jesus bore our punishment so that we would not be judged. He was judged for us. Okay, so John chapter 12, 31 to 33, there's a slide for it. It says, "Now is the judgment of this world." So, those of you who know this, keep quiet. When is the judgment of the world? No one else wants to answer because they know it's a trick question. It says, now is the judgment of this world. It says, now shall the ruler of the prince of this world be cast out. Jesus, when he said this, meant it for then. He wasn't talking about today. We read it, we see now, we think now, it was then. So, then was the judgment of this world, then shall the prince of the world be cast out, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die, speaking about the cross. That was when the judgment of the world was, that was when the enemy was defeated and dealt with. You've got to see it as a done deal. Okay? Now isn't now, it's then. And then he says, if I am lifted up, speaking about on the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And if we look to the Son of Man lifted up on the cross, and you see your problem nailed to the cross, that's how you experience what you need to experience. Whether it be healing, whether it be salvation and righteousness, whether it be freedom, whatever the case is, provision, it's on the cross. It's looking to what Jesus has done for us. Okay? That's why communion is so powerful. Because we're using it as an opportunity not to focus on our sin, but to focus on Jesus and what He's done for us. Okay? Now, I'm going to go into this very quickly, but in that sentence it says, if I be lifted up from the earth, in verse 32, I will draw all men unto me. Now, men is italicized in your Bible, if you've got a good Bible. And the reason why it's italicized, it's usually only in the King James or in the New King James or in, I think, the ESV as well. It's italicized because it was added there by the translators to make sense of the Greek when they translated it. Okay, so now very quickly in a nutshell, if this upsets you and you're thrown off, ignore it, and let's just move on to focusing on Jesus. But it wasn't in the original text, so we can remove it. Okay, and the reason why I'm saying that is because it doesn't make sense that if you lift up Jesus, it draws all men. By lifting up Jesus on the cross, He made a way for all men to come to Him. Amen. But if you just preach Jesus, doesn't mean you're going to pack out an auditorium for Him. We're using a third of this place today. Just because you're preaching Jesus doesn't mean people will come. Okay? So we take that out and we look at the context, and the context is judgment. So next slide, I think I put it there. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all judgment unto me. The context is judgment. What the Bible is saying is that Jesus drew all judgment for sin unto Himself so that you wouldn't have to be judged for sin. Okay, 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Whenever you feel like you're being judged, sometimes you get, I don't know if you ever experienced that, things are going wrong, maybe there's sickness, the washing machine broke, the dog bit you, the car broke down, you ran out of petrol, I don't know, whatever. So many things are just going wrong in your life. You keep getting speeding tickets. That's maybe a different story. You think it's the devil. And what you're saying is, you know, it feels like I'm being judged. Maybe the classic Christian response, maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe you're being judged because of this. In that time of feeling judged, you should have boldness, because as He is, as Jesus is, so are you in this world right now, which means righteous. You're right before God. You will not be judged because Jesus was judged on your behalf. Okay? So, moving on. 2 Corinthians 5:21, which Peter mentioned as well, for He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He took our sin so we could take what He is, righteous. You didn't become righteous, He made you righteous. Look at the choice of words there. Made righteous. The chair didn't make itself that you're sitting on. Okay? Something has to be made by someone else. You don't become righteous by through your actions. You become righteous by being born again, and God makes you righteous. So that first point I just want to make is that your sin has been judged on the cross. If you want to be born again and receive Christ and become a child of God, you've got to look at Jesus, see on the cross that your sin has been judged, and then you receive righteousness and you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and you're perfect in the sight of God. The next thing I want to bring up is that you need to see your sickness judged on the cross, and this is the way that we receive healing. You've got to see it as a done deal. Now, I know by His stripes we were healed, and it was at the whipping post before the crucifixion, but stick with me. As Moses lifted up the bronze serpent on the pole, they were healed. So looking to the complete work of Christ and what He did through His suffering and His sacrifice brings us our answer. Isaiah 53 verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. So this is, as Peter said, a prophecy 700 years before it even happened. The prophet never saw this except from glory, looking down and seeing it. Okay? That's quite a bold statement that he made. But it's saying that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. I've had arguments with religious people about this, or they tried to argue it with me, saying it's a spirit. If you're right, you're not arguing, are you? Just a joke. Saying it's a spiritual healing that Jesus died for us. By his spiritual stripes, we're spiritually healed. Now, by his physical stripes, they say we're spiritually healed. Point is, Jesus, or this is quoted in the New Testament, and it's the context of it gives us the understanding that it's for physical healing. Okay, so Matthew chapter 8 verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So now it changes the two words, and it says infirmities and sicknesses instead of griefs and sorrows. Which shows us that it's actually talking about physical healing. If you don't believe me yet, read the verse before. Next slide. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out all the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So, Jesus bore your sicknesses so you don't have to. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, bore our sins. He bore your sins. You don't have to pay for your sins. He bore your sins. You don't have to pay for your sins. Doesn't matter what you've done wrong. Doesn't matter what great-grandfather did wrong. Doesn't matter what's happened. He bore your sins and paid for them. You don't have to. If you try and pay for it, you're actually working against the finished work. You're working against what Christ tried to achieve and what he did achieve, and you're actually being anti-Christ. Okay, so who himself, it's quite a quiet moment there. Himself, Jesus still loves you, don't worry, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, so we're now dead to sin, sin no longer has a hold on us, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Were healed, past tense. If you're struggling with something, you need to see that sickness on the cross. You need to see that you were healed. Yes, you might have pain in your body, and God's not asking you to ignore the pain. All he's doing is saying, hey, rather focus on the finished work. Focus on what Jesus has done. Don't ignore the pain. Just change your focus. Okay? So he's not saying the sickness doesn't exist. He's not asking you to pretend it's not there. He's just saying that you should rather look unto Jesus, because your sickness has already been judged in the bronze serpent, in Christ. Okay? The serpents were real in the wilderness. They really did bite people. It really did hurt. Okay? God wasn't saying ignore your pain. He was saying look upon the bronze serpent, your problem judged on the pole, and you'll receive your healing. And they did. So it's just moving your attention, your focus off of what you're experiencing and focusing on the reality of Jesus having borne that and taking your sin and your sickness. Okay, those who kept their eyes on the bronze serpent lived. Those who focused on their wounds died. So stop looking at your sickness. Instead, look to the cross and see your sickness already judged in the body of Christ. Surely he's borne your sickness. He bore it so you didn't have to. So the answer to your problem, whether it's sickness, whether it's guilt, condemnation, shame, whether it's a bondage or whatever the situation is, lack, it's to see firstly that your sin is judged on the cross in Christ, and then receive righteousness, receive peace with God and freedom and from condemnation, guilt and shame. It's to see that sickness having been dealt in Christ on the cross and receive healing and wholeness because it's been dealt with. The answer for everything is really just to always look to Jesus. And yet, many times in religious Christianity, There's so many things which are trying to pull our attention off of focusing on Jesus and the finished work and what He's done for us to focus on all sorts of other things, like how should we live our Christian life? The answer to that is focus on Jesus. It's not, is smoking a sin? If you're asking, is smoking a sin, you're asking completely the wrong question. If you're asking the question, is smoking a sin, you should rather be just looking to Jesus. That'll deal with the problem. Okay? Whatever, is anything a sin? It's irrelevant if you're just focusing on Jesus. It'll change your life. There's a principle in Scripture, what you behold, you become. What you focus on, you become. We focus on Christ, that's why, and our problems being dealt with on the cross, that's how and why we will start to transform and experience the new life. Amen. Father, we want to thank You that we can celebrate the risen Christ today and everything that Jesus, You did for us and went through so that we could experience wholeness and freedom and everything else. Healing. Thank You, Jesus. Just with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I just wanted you to take a moment just to, in your mind, picture the cross, picture that sin, that bondage, whatever you struggled with or struggling with, that sickness, that lack, that whatever, picture it nailed to the cross. It's dealt with. Picture it there. For a moment, picture it. Picture in your mind that it's been dealt with in Christ on the cross. And the reason for that was because He so loved you. He didn't want to see you suffer. He didn't want to see you struggle. He didn't want to see you living in with death reigning over you and all the fruit of death. He wanted you to experience the abundant life, and so that's why He took it. Thank You, Jesus. Before we go on to communion, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, is there anyone here? You've never received Christ. You've never, first of all, looked to Him on the cross and receive that forgiveness and receive that new life. If that's you, then we want to give you an opportunity before we partake of communion, because communion is for believers to celebrate the finished work and what Jesus has done for us. If there's anybody here, you've never made that decision yourself. You may have gone to church for many years. You may have read your Bible. You may have sung songs. You may have been baptized. But if you've never made that decision to be a child of God, receive the new life, then you need to do that. Is anybody here? Just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. I'm only looking. Anybody here? You saying, I want to receive that. Going once. Going twice. I believe we're all saved then. As we partake of communion, I want to ask you just to focus on whatever problem you've got, that it's on the cross, that it's dealt with. So what we're going to do is we've got the elements up here. Etienne and Catherine are going to serve it for us. Come up, receive, or take the elements with you. Go back to your chair, take a seat, and we're going to partake together in a moment. We're also just going to watch a quick video clip before we partake. But just as you're as you're coming to receive it and as you go back, keep in your mind, keep it fresh in your mind, your problem was dealt with on the cross. And this is why we're partaking of communion together, is to get our hearts and our minds focused on the problems dealt with in Christ. Amen. You can come and receive the elements.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.